Have you ever taken your business so far and felt like you've taken it as far as you can? You've hit the wall. You have no more ideas. My guest has been there and broken through that wall into a whole new level. Let's listen. And make money. This is Kelly McCauzy. I am your host, and I'm really tickled about this week's show. This is episode number 15. I do have a guest to introduce you to. Do you know how many people over the years I've spoken with who loved some kind of crafting, who had a dream of turning it into a business? Hundreds of people. And it is really rare that someone takes that home craft idea and turns it into a business that does more than, say, support the crafting habit, which essentially makes it a hobby, right? But there are some people who actually do turn it into a profit. They're able to leverage and think bigger, building a business around the craft. They're able to scale it up a bit. And I have friends like over the years who have had a thriving craft show business where they buy the materials, they have fun crafting, and then they take their products out to craft shows and sell everything that they've made, pocketing a little tidy profit. And that's a business. It's a small business, but it's a business. And then there are people who have taken it to the internet, and maybe they're selling their products on Etsy or through a Shopify store. Most of the time it's still, you know, they are actively creating the product and selling it, but you hit a scaling wall with that. You only have two hands. There's only so much time in the day, and, you know, now you're in charge of creating the product and marketing it on the internet. Well, then there are people who scale up from there in some unique way. Like, there are people who end up taking on team members. People come in and help them create things. It's rare, but it happens. And here's what I know, is that I can't even begin to guess what is it that makes the difference. What is it about the person or the craft or the idea or the vision that takes a simple home craft and allows it to be scaled up into an amazing business? I do not have the secrets by any means, but I do know someone who's done it, and she's on my show today. So without any more chit chat, let's jump in. Hey, everybody. You're back with Kelly at Love People and Make Money. I've got my guest on the line with me now, my friend Stacey Ann Lowry. Hello, hi. Stacey Ann.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
I can't believe I haven't interviewed you before.
Well, we talked about it a while ago, but I think we just both kind of forgot or got busy or whatever. So I'm so glad now that we're doing it, though.
Me too. So you are the ornament girl. So yes. Let's start by telling people a little bit about that. So you operate a really popular craft subscription service. So tell us about that. Tell us, what is it that you're offering people?
Sure. So it's basically an ornament subscription box. So I started by making Christmas ornaments. In fact, in the beginning, I sold them finished and I started like on eBay and Etsy. Over time, people started asking me how to make them. So I started doing some patterns and a couple little kits here and there where I would send people the materials to make the ornaments. The subscription box now that we have, the members receive a kit every single month with everything that they need to create that month's design. And we've got two different membership options. We've got a VIP membership where members receive the kit delivered to their door. And then they also get access to a digital content where they get their ebook and their video teaching them how to do that design. And then we've also got the digital membership where the people may want to use their own materials and they just get access to the ebook and the video.
I love that. And so let's blow everybody's socks off and tell them how many people you have subscribed.
Okay, so right now we've got just about 2,600 VIP members. I did cap that a couple of months ago. I wanted to just keep it where it was at because I was kind of getting a little tired from making kits. And we had a busy year. We moved and things like that. So I've kept it capped at that number. And then we've also got about 600 digital members. So we're a little bit over 3,000 in total, about 3,200 or so.
This blows my mind.
It blows my mind too.
I remember when the membership was first being brainstormed, the possibility of it. And I remember thinking for myself, like, I can't imagine that whole process of putting together even a few hundred kits to ship out. And now you're doing over 2,500 every month.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So when did you start creating the boxes? And did you always expect to be running a membership?
No, not at all. So I started the boxes in November 2015, which not coincidentally was right after I went to the first beach house. And I came home from the beach house and I had all these ideas in my head about ways to make the business more consistent. I had a fear though that even though I was doing okay already, I was selling patterns and kits. It's such a niche product, you know, like Christmas ornaments. I thought there's no way that I could build a membership, you know, with regular customers paying me every single month for an ornament kit. You know, it just seemed like it was completely impossible. So when I started the first one in November 2015, I didn't even set it up as a subscription yet. I was too afraid to do that. So I just said, I'm starting a monthly kit that you can buy. I'm going to do one every single month. This is number one, and it's going to be open next week. And I just kind of marketed it for a week. And when I opened it up, we had 340 people buy it. And I had to hurry up and shut it down. It was within a couple hours. And I had to shut it down because I didn't have that many kits. Like, what am I going to do? So then after that, of course, I was like, I can't believe this. I just can't believe that this many people were interested in this. So the next month for December, I turned it into a subscription.
So I don't want to turn this into a logistics conversation because I really do think it would just break my brain. but I know people are thinking, holy smokes, how do you do that? But let me ask you first, where did your love of crafting these ornaments come from?
Well, it started when I was like, I think I was about 15. My mom was really crafty. She made all sorts of things and she could paint and everything. And she would constantly go to like free demonstrations and learn how to do something new and then bring it home. And she and my sister and I would do it with her. And one day she came home with this ornament thing and she had all this material and she had learned how to make them. So we sat around and did it like all day, me and my sister and her. And I just had so much fun. And I think I kind of I think I kind of became emotionally attached to making them just because of that time, you know, that I had with her and my sister. So I kept making them forever. I mean, obviously until now. But even after I like got married and moved out, I would make them. My husband was in the military and we were like really poor. And so we had one vehicle and I was always at home because he would take the car to work. And I would do that to pass the time. I would make the ornaments to pass the time. And sometimes I would even take apart my old ones just to have the stuff to make another one just for fun. And I loved it. And I still do.
Man, wouldn't it be great if we could all find something we loved that much and build a business around it? That's what's so cool about it. So at the time you launched the membership, at the time you started to offer the kits, you already had a pretty big social following of people who just loved to see what you were doing because you're also a really good photographer. So you took really great, just gorgeous shots of your work.
Thank you.
I think that if people ask, like, how did you get people to notice you? You know, you just shared what you were doing.
Yeah, for years. I mean, it took a couple of years. I was online for a really long time. I started actually in like 2005, but at that time I was just selling them finished and I was on eBay. And I would just share pictures. I never really tried to sell really hard. I was always kind of afraid to sell. So I would share pictures and it just sort of started to grow, especially with Facebook and social and blogging.
So when you decided to pursue a membership, when you think back to 2017, like you said, 340 people bought right away and you had to shut it down. At that point, can you remember what you were thinking about? Ooh, like maybe I'll get this many members and that'll be so awesome. Did you have any clue back then that you might be sending out thousands?
No, not at all. With the first one in November, when the 340 people joined, I was shocked by that and I was very excited. But then when I started it as a subscription the next month, I thought, well, who's like, no one's going to really want to commit to a subscription. And I thought if I can just, at that time, I thought if I can get 100 to 200 regular members every month, that would be a really good boost to my business and it would give me consistency. Because up until then I had good months, but then I also had really dry months. You know, ornaments are typically a Christmas thing. So leading up into Christmas, I'd be really busy. I just wanted to have some consistency month to month. And I thought 100 to 200 members that would stay with me for all 12 months of the year would be awesome. Definitely never thought that it would grow like it has.
So that leads up to a great question. So when it started to grow, did you experience growing pains and how did you respond?
I definitely had a lot of growing pains. Especially from a technical standpoint. When I started, I had a PayPal button and then I was actually just emailing people the instructions every month. And then after a couple of months, I realized that I wanted to have like a membership site where people could go on their own, log in and retrieve their instructions. And I wanted to start doing some videos at that point. So I used Wishlist Member on WordPress. But the thing is that I kind of had a unique situation in that I was delivering a digital product along with a physical product. And at that time too, I didn't have just the digital membership only. I only had the, you know, where you get the kit and you get the instructions. So growing pains, just making that work, being able to fulfill all those orders from a physical standpoint, it's been a lot. It was actually all the way up through, I guess, 2017, where I finally moved off of Wishlist Member and got into like a better system. It got to a point where I actually was afraid to open the club every single month because I felt like I was bringing more people into a horrible system and it was just going to make more and more work for myself. So we finally did do like a complete overhaul, fix everything that was not working. That made it so much better.
I'm curious. So Again, everything you say, I just think, I don't think I could have done that. I don't think I could have survived that. How much did this stretch you personally?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I feel like, well, number one, I'm an entirely different person. In the beginning, if you would have told me that this was going to happen, I would have said the same thing that you just did. I would have said, there's no way that I could do that ever. I can't manage that many customers. I can't come up with a new idea every single month. There's no way I can do that. I don't know how to build the systems that I need to run this. I can't create that many kits every month. I mean, but I've learned that I can. You can. You know, you always can figure things out. You just keep taking one step at a time. A problem arises, you fix it, and you just keep going. And then pretty soon you can look back and realize that you've really built something.
Wow. What would you say, what was the most important skill for you to learn that helped you scale the business?
Definitely the most important thing I had to learn was to delegate. In fact, I'm still learning this, but I'm a lot better at it now. In the beginning, I couldn't even let go of like my email. I couldn't even let someone else answer any emails. I thought it had to be me. I felt like literally every single thing in the business I had to touch or be a part of or do myself because no one else could do it like me. Now though, even though I do still have a hard time letting go of things, it's your baby. When you have a business like this, you want to make sure everything is done exactly like you want. But I've learned that there are people, awesome people, who can do things even better than me, which was definitely the most liberating thing that I ever figured out. And it allows me the freedom to be able to spend time on the things that I do really well or that I enjoy the most. In fact, last year I even hired a designer to help me create the ornament kits every month, which if you'd have told me that a couple of years ago, that someone else would be helping with the actual product creation, I would have never believed that I could give that up. And it was the best thing I ever did. She's so wonderful. And we're bringing a new designer on as well, building the team this year, 2019.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
So I know one of the people that are on your team, I've known her like almost as long as I've known anybody. And I remember when I found out she was joining your team, I was just like, oh my gosh, she just hit the lottery. You know, to get a high quality person who loves doing what they're doing on your team so that it frees you up is such a huge blessing.
Yes, it is. And she is invaluable to me. I just absolutely love her. She's been with me now for over 2 years. And she's just grown with the business. She went from doing customer support. Now she does admin and billing and things like that. So just absolutely love her.
With the delegation, scaling up, even bringing on people to help with design, what's your favorite part of running the Ornament Girl now?
My favorite thing to do is the marketing.
So yeah?
I really love, writing the emails and working on like just the social things, all that sort of stuff. But I did find that it was overwhelming me in the last couple of years because I was still trying to do everything else too. So when I'm doing everything else, the marketing becomes hard. And when I'm freed up to work on that, that's the part I love.
Yeah. I love that. What would you, with everything that you've created, and you said, so is it hard capped at 2,600 members? Like, are there times when you just can't get a subscription because you're so full?
Lately we have enough cancellations every month that we can still open up for the next month until we're full again. So it's kind of rare that we never open in a month. It has happened. It just seems to kind of be like an ebb and flow, you know, like some people cancel, I let some new people in. And I do get emails every month from people who say, I missed it, you know, before you closed. And I'm like, well, okay, you can join next month. I can't make any more kits. But we do open pretty much every month for a little while.
I'm thinking it would be a really fun project for my nieces and I.
Oh, well, that would be really cool.
They're always looking for something to do. When you think about everything you've created so far, what do you want to lean into next?
I do have some other ideas for things I would like to pursue. But I think in 2019, I am leaning into working a little bit less, to be honest. Yeah. 2018 was a little bit of a difficult year for me in terms of just, we moved. So we moved our house and the shop. It was really, really crazy for a little while. And we're still kind of getting settled in our new place, in our new shop. And I am, like I said, trying to build my team up and delegate more. So I think 2019, I'm kind of leaning into ease a little bit. And then maybe if I find that, then I will have the space to pursue some of the other things that I've got in my mind.
I think we might be soul sisters this year. That I shared, I can't remember if I've mentioned it on the podcast, but I shared in my community that when I came through into 2019, so I'm going to confess that I'm not really wonderful with my bookkeeping. And so I came over the first of the year and I looked back at my numbers for 2018. For the first time, I had this overview picture and it took my breath away. I realized I'd hit a financial goal that I hadn't realized, which was revenue of $250,000.
Congratulations.
That's not income. You know that. It's not like, woohoo, I made that much money, but I created that much revenue. Mm-hmm. It was breathtaking. It was intimidating. And I really needed to just sit with it for a day to just go, wow, how did I not know that it was that my business was doing that well? And now what? And several people, when I shared, said, oh, what's your next big goal? And I was just like, shut up. it's not that I don't want to grow to my next big goal, but I want to take a minute to say, okay, so what I did this year rocked it. And now what? Like, I want to shore things up. I want to review. I want to create systems. I don't want to. 2019 is not for, okay, what's my next big thing? It's to grow into where I am. Does that make sense?
Yes, well said. That's exactly how I feel as well.
Because it feels good. It feels good to know what I've been able to do. And man, you've got to be so proud of what you've created.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am proud. And you too, congratulations. I saw your post on Facebook about that. I was like, yes.
The best part is that I didn't work hard. I mean, I have seasons of hustle in between seasons of rest and ease, for sure. So that's what's exciting.
That is so wonderful. And I wish I could say the same. And I feel like I killed myself in 2018. And that's why I want to take a step back. And I do want to keep growing. It's not, like you said, it's not that I don't want to grow. But I also, it's funny, in the beginning of like starting the business, all you think about is, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I'm going to make this much money and, you know, I'm going to grow it. And then you kind of realize, but I also want to have a life, you know. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, you kind of put that aside and you think, yeah, of course I want to have a life, but that'll come and I have a life now, you know. But this year especially, I realized that life is still happening. And I feel like it's kind of passing me by because I'm working a lot and I want to enjoy my life too.
Oh, I want that for you.
Thank you.
You know, I just spent a week with our friend Therese.
Yes.
And man, it was just so, so awesome. And people asked me, you know, oh, so, you know, is this business? What event are you going to? I said, none, nothing. I'm gonna snuggle my friends, snuggle her babies, have a good time, you know, and enjoy. And, you know, thank goodness that it's possible to do that. There was certainly a time when I could never have imagined let's just, you know, hop on a plane and go spend a week with a friend for shits and giggles, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you mentioned the beach house. Do you remember when you first came to Beachpreneurs? It was
in October 2015.
Okay. So you were at one of the first, I think that was probably, it was either our second or third beach house retreat. So you're early. And you're one of our most favorite. I mean, all of our beachies, the beachies, that's what we call gals who've been to Beachpreneurs, beachies. You know, everyone who comes to the beach house, they're people we want to spend time with. And there are relationships that have been built there that just are so precious to us. You've been back to the beach house many times. Mm-hmm. So what drew you in the first time? Because you're an introvert.
Yes.
Yeah. So saying, hey, you know, I'm just going to, you know, go hang out with a bunch of women in house. It's not like that was on your list of dream ways to spend time.
It wasn't actually. When I decided to go to the first beach house, it was like a total whim. And I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know of anyone except for you. I was on your email list, and I don't remember how I got onto your email list. I had been on it, I think, for a couple of years, but I had never actually like met you or anything. And you sent out an email one day, and it said, like in the PS, you put, "We've got one spot open for next weekend for the beach house. Do you want to join us?" And I hit reply and I was like, okay. And you answered right away. And I was like, so like 5 minutes after I committed, then I was like, oh my God, I don't even know these people. What am I thinking? I'm going to go to this house that of people that I've never met before. I have no idea what I'm walking into. And at that time too, I had never been to any other event for like business at all. So I was pretty nervous actually. But at that time, this was 2015, and I was already headed towards what I thought was going to be a really good year. I thought I might even have a six-figure year that year, but I felt like I would never be able to do it again. Like I felt like I had exhausted all options. I had done everything I could to get the sales that I'd gotten. And I was feeling kind of crazy, you know, like no consistency in my income. It was hit or miss. And I felt like I wanted some help and some different perspectives, and something made me respond to that email and that invite. And, I mean, thank goodness I did. It's funny when I went to that beach house, I was thinking to myself that I was going to stop doing the ornament business. I was going to pursue something completely different because I felt, even though I was having a good year, I thought there's no more here. There's no more with this ornament business. Like it's done and it can never grow or scale past what it is. And thank goodness you guys did not let me stay in that thought process for long.
I think that, well, what happens at the beach house is that every woman there is contributing to this, you know, this mastermind. And like Nicole and I, we take credit in that. Yeah. We rent the house, we create the space, we have the vision, but Like, I look at your business and think, I can take absolutely no credit for anything she's done because I didn't know how it was going to happen. It's not like I had a vision for, oh, and this is going to grow to 2,600 people. But it was the magic of the people in the house. The, you know, I don't remember if it was that first beach house, but I remember one of the beach houses you were sitting with, Mathia and Jessica. And you were talking about sourcing materials.
Yes.
Like there was this, just this beautiful thing of, oh, I know this. And hey, oh, by the way, I know about this. And that was like this magic thing happening. The thing that I love about the beach house is that you get answers to questions you didn't even know you had.
That is so true. I didn't know what to expect going in. I remember I was driving home from it because I did drive up there. It was a 7-hour drive. I'm in Florida, so I figured I would just drive. But the whole drive home for the 7 hours, I couldn't wipe the smile off my face. I had like this brain full of ideas that everyone had given to me. I mean, like you said, everyone there is coming from a different place. Everyone has a different perspective and we all have different businesses. And that makes it like a buffet of smart brains. I mean, it was just like all these ideas. And I was overflowing when I left. So, I mean, I still, like, when I came home, I didn't know how exactly it was going to look. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I felt rejuvenated in the ornament business. I felt like, wow, this could turn into something. I could start, you know, something that will grow. Which I would have never had if I hadn't went.
I wonder how many people listening to this conversation are now like curious, like what have I walked away from because I felt overwhelmed and out of ideas? What have I walked away from that might have been my awesome breakthrough? And not to plant that seed of like kicking yourself in the butt, but just to be curious about if there's somebody listening who feels that kind of like, I think I've done all I can here. It really does pay to let some other smart and creative minds get in there. You just never know.
Yep, that's true.
Stacy, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited that we finally did this.
Me too. Me too. I'm so inspired by you. So guys, show notes on the web at lovepeoplemakemoney.com. Click on podcast and look for Stacy and the Ornament Girl. I'll link through to her website if you want to check out the membership. And Stacy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly.
I hope I get to see you and hug you again real soon.
Well, hopefully at beach camp.
All right. Bye, everybody. Hey, you're back with Kelly wrapping up this episode number 15 of Love People and Make Money. I hope more than anything else that you are going to walk away from this episode with sparked curiosity. I love what Stacy Ann shared about how when she came to the beach house, she thought she was ready to embark on something new and different. Like she'd taken her ornament business as far as it was going to go. And now it's time to shift and look somewhere else and do something different. And if that were true, that could have been what she got confirmation of at the beach house. That, you know, that might have been true for her, that was done, it was complete, and now this new vision is going to, you know, burst open, and she, who knows? I mean, who knows? It could have been that way. It's fascinating to me that people come to the beach house and they just experience magic. And it's just like I said in the conversation with Stacy, Nicole and I, we certainly own the value of what we create. that we create the space, we hold the space, we invite women in. But then what happens when everyone gets there? It's not us. You know, yes, we create the invitation, but the magic is in the amazing mix of the people who show up. We say that you experience bold breakthroughs at the beach, and that's just so true. So true about Stacey Ann, so true about so many other women who have been to the beach house with us. And that I just get this giddy grin because we have beach house retreats coming up in March of 2019. We're doing back-to-back beach house retreats because the beach house filled so fast this last year. We didn't have the heart to tell ladies, oh, you're going to have to wait till 2020. So the house was available. We went ahead and created a second retreat right after the first. So that first retreat is full. We've got four ladies signed up in the second retreat. So we do have space. If you've listened to this, if you've heard me talk about beachpreneurs, beach camp, beach house, talk to me. Go to beachpreneurs.com, and that'll give you information right there on the homepage. Is information about the beach house retreat. And if you want to be part of the next beach house, submit an application. Tell us just a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about whether or not this can work for you. And if you happen to be listening to this, and in the future, if March 2019 dates are now behind us, well, look to see what we've booked for next year. I hope we never stop doing these retreats. I just enjoy them so much. And there's always ladies saying, I'm going to do it next year. I'm going to do it next year. And I'd love it if it would be you. So check it out, beachpreneurs.com. And of course, Beach Camp is the hotel event in Daytona Beach in April 2019, which I have confirmation now. Stacey Ann has agreed to be one of our table talk leaders. So you can meet me and Nicole and Stacey Ann along with our awesome speakers, Dr. Kathy Groover, Marusha Murphy, Karen Thaxton, and I'm sorry, my brain. Oh, Tanya Smith, my brain just bubbled. It's going to be so fantastic. This is the sixth beach camp, and it's going to be amazing. All right. Thanks for listening. I will see you next time. How about you go love people and make money?